If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
In our studio right now, the promotions and PR manager, Sarah Thiemann, who helps us in many ways. If you thought we did a nice job during our fundraiser for the Salvation Army, a lot of that was Sarah's work. Our Bob Coyne, of course, works all year long on that, and we sure couldn't have done it without David Hochberg. But Sarah, thank you for making that thing go.
Yeah, and I try to read numbers better, too, this year. So sometimes it's hard to read big numbers.
We hope to raise $200,000 in 2 hours for the Salvation Army. Our virtual kettle is still taking cash in, but we're over $205,000.
We are. Yeah. So our listeners are always generous, and we are grateful to have wonderful people listening.
We discovered just in the halls that you, as we all chat about, were a big reader. We started to put you on because you like to try and hit 100 books a year. I still can't get my head around that. How many books have you read this year?
Well, right now I'm on track to finish at 88, but I think if I push, I'll finish at 90. Maybe 91.
You said you listened to 11 audiobooks, you did 49 fiction, and you did 39 nonfiction.
I did. I always try to do a balance.
That makes you unusual. I think most of us have a lane. My wife, Brenda, reads exclusively fiction, and I'm exclusively the opposite.
No, my favorite genre is always, first and foremost, historical fiction, but I think it's important to have a balance of both.
Your top picks of the year were, I'm going to read them, and then I'll let you comment on a few. Mm-hmm. Sipsworth, There Are Rivers in the Sky, James by Percival Everett. A lot of people are talking about that. The Women, which came out this year, and Demon Copperhead, which came out a couple of years ago, Barbara Kingsolver. Challenger, A True Story of Heroism and Disaster on the Edge of Space. That's the Adam Higginbotham story, the story about the Challenger. The Wide, Wide Sea, we talked about Hampton Sides' book. The Year of Living Constitutionally. A.J. Jacobs made your cut.
Yeah, I love A.J. Jacobs.
I do, too. And I didn't know, though, that you would love his book because he's delightful to talk to.
No.
Very smart, very clever.
I think you said it, you know, in your interview with him, he commits to the bit. And that's what his books are about. And it's such a brilliant concept. And I think, you know, especially with this, you know, being an election year, I read it in July. And I think it's an important book for all Americans to read. Because
I totally agree.
You know, history was always one of my favorite subjects in school. But, you know, how much do we read the Constitution? We had to take a Constitution test in, you know, eighth grade, and you get quizzed on a test to pass something or whatever. But how much do you really learn and pay attention to it? And he, like, dives so deep. And, I mean, that bit about him unrolling the scroll in the senator's office was hilarious, and then spilling ink on the rug.
And his kids are like, oh, Dad,
well, yeah,
please.
You know, for a year, I have to read his Bible one.
You're living biblically.
Yeah. He grows a beard. I mean, and I loved his, I actually thought about doing this year after the election. I loved that he had rallied people around the country to make democracy cakes. Like, what a brilliant, celebrate this thing that we are allowed to go and vote and your power and, you know.
I wouldn't call it stunt journalism, but it's a stunt in a way. He picks a theme or a topic and then tries to commit a year to that.
Yep.
It began with the year he read the Encyclopedia Britannica.
Right. I have not read that one.
And became irrepressible. His wife just, because every time somebody would say something like, hey, there's an elephant in the room, he goes, actually, the history of the elephants. And then he knew everything.
Yeah.
He was annoying that way.
My first one of my favorites of his that I read maybe was at 2018, 2019, is the Family Tree book, where he ends up having like this massive gathering of all of his like friends and relatives, sort of like that 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, and like gathers all these people. I mean, it was such a brilliant book. Like, I just, I don't know, there's a special place in my heart for that man. And
so A.J. Jacobs makes your cut, The Year of Living Constitutionally. And then All the Colors of the Dark by Chris Whitaker, which my friend Dana Erickson had on her list. Brenda had that on her list. Just talk about one of those, which really moved you this year.
Well, so I have to start with the first one, Sipsworth, by Simon Van Bui. I think it's a book that I'm actually, Simon needs to hire me as his PR person, because I'm actually really trying to get more people to read that book.
What's it about?
So it's the only book, this is a rarity for me, that I listened to an audiobook because that was the only way I could get a hold of it from my local library. And then I reread it in December, at the beginning of December, in book form, because I bought a copy at a bookstore when I was on holiday in Florida. And I was talking to the owner about it there, too. She was a lovely, lovely lady.
What's the book about?
So, okay. Book is about an elderly woman who relocates back to England. She'd been living in Australia for years and years. She's just lonely. And she happens upon some rubbish, and she brings some rubbish into her home, and trash. And as she's sorting through this trash, she ends up finding that she has an unexpected little mouse friend. And it's about the continuation or the development of their friendship and their relationship.
Her and the mouse?
Yes, and how that mouse in her life brings other humans into her life, and it transforms her from it's just such a beautiful book. So it's, you know, earlier, a couple months ago, we started collecting everybody's recommendations and publishing them online.
Every month we do a book club.
Yep. And what I love about that is our exchange. So, like, you've read books that I've read. One of us will talk about a book. And, you know, I mentioned Sipsworth in one of those rundowns, and Steve Alexander picked it up. And he had, I think, Steve Alexander, I give you credit because you wrote Gentle Reveals. I called it Unexpected Treasure. Like, you don't want to read too much into the book because you find out things about this woman that are so magical. I mean, just thinking about it kind of like,
okay, hold on,
gives me
so
a little
Steve,
teary-eyed.
Does this make your list as well?
Oh yeah, absolutely, probably number one.
Yeah,
it's just a beautiful book. It's about a woman who's I think she's ready to die.
Yeah, she is.
She lost her husband, lost her son. Mm-hmm. And then she finds this really odd and unexpected reason to live.
Yeah.
We've talked about that's Sipsworth by Simon Van Booey, B-O-O-Y.
So, however you can track it down, and shout out to Ann Patchett, an author who owns a bookstore in Nashville, Parnassus Books. I get a lot of ideas from there. Her one quote on the book is, "I loved it." And I think that's all you need to know if you don't run and find a copy of this book. Simon and I actually connected over LinkedIn, so... Thank you, Simon.
Both of you have James on your list, and we've talked about this book enough that we don't need to talk about it now, but it's Jim from Huckleberry Finn fame, and now it's written from his perspective. Steve, does that make your list as well?
Yeah, it's probably right up there, probably number two or three. It's one that just sticks with me. It's because it's disturbing, and it's really brilliant in the way that he put this together.
What a great idea, right?
And what I love about that too is I love books who give a voice to the voiceless. And you know, you already had a story about Huckleberry Finn, but you know, how much do we know about the other characters who are involved in that adventure? And I think that's an important story to tell.
If we skip down past Notes from a Small Island, Bill Bryson, you have a Bill Bryson book
on
there.
Well, you and I share a common love of Bill Bryson.
I'm giving Bill Bryson books to friends this Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, we both have read The Body, which is a phenomenal book. I mean, his whole repertoire, I always have said I want to be the Bill Bryson in female form because he and I have sort of led parallel lives to some degree with our backgrounds, but... Notes from a Small Island I'd fallen in love with, you know, years ago after my, you know, shortly after my study abroad in England. But it was interesting to revisit it this year. We actually listened to it as an audiobook, and I want to go back and reread it because all these years later, I was like, wow. And maybe it's because I'm getting older. He like has this like little bit of like a I know he's curmudgeonly, but he had like a new elevation of curmudgeon to me. I was like, I turned to my husband, John, and I was like, man, this guy's like, you know, he loves it, but he like hates it too. It's just funny.
Notes from a Small Island, Bill Bryson. Table for Two, Amartal's book.
Yeah.
Everything he writes, we love.
Yeah, Gentleman in Moscow is by far his best book.
That's one of the great works of the 20th century.
Table for Two was fine, but if you have never read an Immortals book, go run and pick up Gentleman in Moscow and you won't be disappointed. That is a brilliant book.
Here's a biography you read and enjoyed this year, Being Henry, The Fonz and Beyond.
Oh, Yeah. If you like audiobooks, Henry Winkler actually reads this one. And I did not grow up on Happy Days. My husband sort of did, bizarrely. But it was just, we always like to listen to nonfiction sort of books because it's a good, it doesn't stress me out as much as reading fiction. But anyway, you know, he reveals a lot of things about his life, and I'm not, you know, have never done a deep dive on Henry Winkler. So it was a fun book. You know what I didn't realize? He did the show. Oh, my gosh. Now I'm going to forget about it. MacGyver.
I didn't know he was on that.
No, he was like, that show. He was the creative mind behind MacGyver. And I had no idea.
You read memoirs by both Hillary Clinton and Nancy Pelosi.
Yes. And I actually went and saw Hillary Clinton speak on that book,
Oh, yeah,
too.
That was, she was in town this fall,
yeah.
Just before the election.
Yes.
And, of course, that sold out. I suppose there were a lot of applause for her. And So I don't have a lot of time for either of those books, but what struck you about either of them?
I mean, Hillary, I think, is a nice reflection piece. It's a lot to handle. So, you know, she dives deep on different political socioeconomic.
Were you angry at her a little bit?
No, not at all. No.
What about Nancy Pelosi? I presume that was a little more strident in that she's still in the game. She's the one that ripped up Donald Trump's speech.
Yep. I think the best parts of that book to me were just the fallout from when her husband was, you know, attacked.
Yeah.
And, you know, dealing.
Oh, she tells that story.
She does.
Of course she does.
And dealing with that.
Could have been her. It was supposed to be her and would have killed her.
Yeah.
It's amazing it didn't kill him.
Though I'm trying to be careful with those types of books right now because I saw you had War on your list and I picked up War and I'm like, nope, not the right time for me. So
the Bob Woodward book, which tells the story of the wars that are being fought in the world right now, both in Ukraine, in Israel or the West Bank or the Gaza Strip, and the role that the various players played in it. So rather than Woodward just telling you about Donald Trump or Joe Biden, he's telling you these stories through the lens of these wars. And his fly on the wall dialogue is just incredible. And I don't know if that's recreated or if he's reporting it as was told to him. I think that's the case.
Yeah,
I've been told from other reviews that this is legit. It's remarkable the decisions that were being made and who knew what when. And that's War by Bob Woodward.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you're going to write a book, obviously you're going to, if it's going to be a memoir, you're going to paint yourself in the best light possible. So, you know, I think if that's a subject that interests you, you know, read as much as you can about all those topics. You know, she dove deep into things, you know, getting when we pulled out of.
You're talking about Nancy Pelosi now.
Well, and, you know, and Hillary Clinton, like just her work on pulling when we evacuated, you know, Afghanistan and Iraq and that whole like pulling out and those people that, you know, the American government had tried to help and those women who were left behind. She worked with organizations to help them. So, you know, there were really interesting points to that story that I, you know, hadn't really zeroed in on.
Give us a couple more fiction books in a minute. Sarah Thiemann, our promotions and PR manager, usually reads about 100 books. She's been slacking off this year. Only going to hit 90. As it turns out, Bob Kessler in the newsroom's over 50. And Steve, it sounds like you've got dozens and dozens and dozens on your shelf, too.
Probably 25 or so.
Okay,
for this year.
I'll ask Bob and Steve to chime in a minute and give us one or two fellas that's on your list. And Sarah, give us another couple of good fiction reads after this on WGN. Here at WGN, Sarah Thiemann is in the studio. She's a big reader, as it turns out, most of the folks on the radio here. And so we like to give you some of our book recommendations. And Steve, give me the number one or two on your list. What else would you mention that we haven't?
I would go with two of them. Long Island by Colm Tobin. I don't know if you mentioned that one already. It's the writer who did Brooklyn. Which turned into a movie. But it's a revisiting of the heroine of that of Brooklyn, Ellis Lacey. Elish, I think they pronounce it. And then Only Girl in the Room by Robin Green. She was the only woman on the masthead of Rolling Stone magazine back in the 70s.
Oh, wow. What an interesting idea.
I became a writer for The Sopranos and then Blue Bloods and was a showrunner there. And all the while, she had to fight this being one of the only women in the room.
I can imagine. Yeah. Only woman in the room, Long Island also. Mm-hmm. Bobby, what jumps out at you this year?
We haven't mentioned graphic novels yet.
Oh,
and Sarah and I were talking about this one. It's called Between Two Sounds, and it's the biography of a composer named Arvo Pärt, who's from Estonia. And so he was a composer during the Soviet occupation of Estonia. And he's actually one of the most popular modern composers. He's still alive, but this graphic novel was amazing. It told the whole story not only of his life throughout his career as a composer under this oppressive regime, but also how he devised his own approach to composing, to music, and it was really good. I probably read 3 graphic novels this year, which is not many, but yeah, that one was really excellent. So that was Between Two Sounds.
I read 2, and I'll throw out, Can't We Talk About Something More Pleasant, a memoir by Roz Chast, which is about dealing with your parents as, aging and figuring out, end of life things, which was, an important kind of topic, too.
You read The Women.
Yes. Lisa Dent read that, too. She participated in one of our book clubs, and she liked that one as well.
That's, who didn't? That is the story of the women who served the men in Vietnam.
Yep. And it's a, undertold story about the women who went over as nurses and didn't get much recognition and came back, having
with
to deal
kind of PTSD.
Yeah, having to deal with real life. But, you're, 1950s, 1960s, you need to be a, a lady. And how do you, reintegrate yourself into society? So it's the main character's pressures of dealing with her family while she's dealing with a lot of struggles after, what she did in the war.
A historical fiction?
It is, which is my sweet spot. So
yeah.
I
even though you might not think of historical fiction being 1970s,
right,
but I love the concept of, and we should think about this, the men who fought had their own personal trauma.
Right.
If you were a nurse, if you were female, you had it over and over and over again.
Yeah. And they, it was so much like, thinking on your feet, but, you're in a matter of life and death.
So The Women.
Which
everybody says is just one of the best books of this year.
Yeah.
Bob, you mentioned one. It was a graphic novel. Do you want to throw another one in the mix, Bobby?
I just finished Brian Cox's book. He was Logan Roy on Succession, putting
sure
the rabbit in the hat. And he's one of these actors that before Succession, he's in a lot of movies. He was just kind of there. I always could respect the fact he was a really esteemed character actor.
Yeah.
And was highly regarded, but I don't ever remember him starring in anything. But he's had an incredibly interesting life, really humble beginnings in Scotland, classically trained actor, but he has his own views on it. So there's these interesting insights on creativity. Actors that he's worked with that you think he must love, say, who's the guy who was Gandalf, that actor. And he likes him as a person, but he has some legitimate criticisms of his acting.
Yeah.
Ian McKellen, yeah. I think he doesn't. He respects him and likes him, and they've worked together. But I all these different views on how to approach that craft. So he's a true craftsman, and I really enjoy reading about
him. By the way, Griffin and I were watching Succession. We're walking our way through it again and watched last night, I think, one of the greatest scenes in television, Shiv and Tom's fight. Which I just thought was so well acted and written. And that's not a book, but you guys made me think about that. Okay, Sarah, we got a couple minutes left. Give us a couple more shout-outs.
So let me shout out to Richard Osman, who you may remember wrote the Thursday Murder Club series. He took a break this year and is out with two new character or a new series called, it's going to be a series, We Solve Murders. I liked it. I still give the Thursday Murder Club has a special place in my heart. But if you are a Richard Osman fan and like kind of mystery thrillers, chase that. Every so often I pick up a romance because that's a teenage girl. Sarah loves that. And I can't get away from it sometimes, but I'll give, if that's your genre, This Summer Will Be Different by Carly Fortune. Hit me in the right places because it's set on a place that I've just been infatuated with forever, Prince Edward Island. So as the Anne of Green Gables girl in me needs to go to Prince Edward Island. So if you like romance, and obviously Emily Henry, I reread Book Lovers. That's my favorite Emily Henry, but she came out with Funny Story this year. I think Book Lovers is better, but...
Let me also just remind you that Sarah's list is at WGNradio.com, or will be.
It will be. Yeah, we'll
after the show.
We should podcast. Well, if we podcast this, it'll appear on that list.
This will also appear as a podcast. So as we've been clicking through these books, you can just go back and listen to all of this after the show. Go on the John Williams page at WGNradio.com.
And you can also search WGNradio.com/books, and you'll find all of our book club.
Each month.
Yep.
By the way, my friend Dana Erickson reads maybe as much as you do. I'm just going to read her five, and you tell me what you think. All the Colors of the Dark, you've already mentioned that. The House of the Cerulean Sea.
Oh, my husband read that. T.J. Klune. He loves that book.
The Frozen River.
Yeah, Ariel Lahan. I picked that up, but couldn't get through it, so maybe another season.
The Berry Pickers?
It's on my list, so 2025.
The Fever in the Heartland?
Read that last year. KKK, great book. You should read that. It's a nonfiction. It's it takes place right next door in Indiana with some scenes in Chicago. I think it's a must read.
Okay, Sarah, we're out of time.
Thanks, John.
That's Sarah Thiemann, her list at WGNradio.com. And go to WGNradio.com after the show. Click on the John Williams page. Get your number two pencil out, and you can take notes. You want to say something else?
Can I throw one shout out? My Aleph Shafak. She's quickly becoming my favorite writer. Her best book, I think, is The Island of Missing Trees. But her another book that made my top 10, she wrote There Are Rivers in the Sky. And it's just an epic, beautiful book about how a drop of water connects all these characters in the book. And it's masterful. And I think she is a context on writing. So anything Aleph Shafak writes. Definitely The Island of Missing Trees, but There Are Rivers in the Sky. You won't regret it. Beautiful.
Sipsworth was her top pick of the year. Steve Alexander had it on the top of his list as well. Sipsworth, Simon Van Bowie.
Yep.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, John.